During the recent Invictus Games in Australia, Team UK was represented alongside the Netherlands in a wheelchair tennis match. And during the match, a helicopter flew overhead, and the UK competitor Paul Guest became visibly affected, distressed by the helicopter. He has suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, for years, and was so affected that he was unable to complete his serve. And his Dutch playing partner, Edwin Vermeten, realized what was happening and went to Paul's side to comfort him. The pair embraced forehead to forehead in the middle of the court and remained in that embrace until Paul Guest felt that he could continue. And the duo went on to win a medal in the wheelchair tennis. The effect of warfare on the mental health, on conflict on the mental health of forces and police personnel has come to the fore very much in recent years. Following the First and Second World Wars, many forces personnel came home and just didn't talk about the things that they had witnessed. Many felt that that was their only way of coping with it, and many others were affected for the rest of their lives. In World War I, hundreds were unable to cope with the scale of the carnage that they witnessed, and British and Commonwealth Military Command executed 306 of their own men during the Great War. The Shot at Dawn campaign claims that it was severe psychological trauma and not cowardice that rendered the soldiers physically unable to cope with the shocking scenes that they witnessed. Private Thomas Highgate was the first to suffer such military justice, unable to bear the carnage of 7,800 British troops at the Battle of Mons. He had fled and hidden in a barn, and he was undefended at his trial because all his colleagues from the Royal West Kents had either been killed, injured, or captured. Just 35 days into the war, Private Highgate was executed at the age of 17. 16-year-old Herbert Burden lied that he was 2 years older so that he could join the Northumberland Fusiliers. 10 months later, he was court-martialed for fleeing after seeing his friends massacred at the battlefield of Belleward Ridge, and he faced a firing squad, still officially too young to be in his regiment. Just a few weeks ago, the Newsnight programme on the BBC focused on the mental health of former soldiers who served in Iraq. And to be honest, I was quite shocked at some of the statistics mentioned in the programme. It stated that 4,000 plus American soldiers died during the Iraq conflict and its aftermath. In total, 6,281 veterans killed themselves in 2015 alone, 6,079 in 2016. And in March this year, the MOD published that for the 20-year period from 1998 to 2017, 309 suicides and open verdicts occurred amongst the UK Regular Armed Forces personnel, 292 males and 17 females. This is a major issue for ex-service personnel and for some still serving. But it's not just within the military. Consistently in the news and so on, we're hearing how stretched mental health services are and how stretched GP services are in dealing with people who have mental illness, and how the need is there for those services to be properly funded and developed. One of our local MLAs, Robbie Butler, has started an initiative among the churches in the Lisburn area to seek to make us more aware and potentially better equipped to help people who may be feeling suicidal. And this is founded on the basis that Northern Ireland has the highest suicide rate of any region in the United Kingdom. And Lisburn area is no difference. The incidence of it has steadily been rising. The Northern Ireland Statistics and Research Agency, their statistics say that from 1997 to 2017, suicides in Northern Ireland have risen from 38 to 140 per annum. Since 2010, the number has not been below 120 per annum. Predominantly males on a scale of 3 to 1, and predominantly males in the ages of 20 to 54. In Lisburn, the numbers have been more than doubled in the past 20 years. Depressive illness, PTSD as a lingering result of the troubles in Northern Ireland, the general expectations and pressures of living today, all of these and more have their impact and make us realise the need to guard our heads, whether in the military or not. And there's a lot of good literature out there. There are many helpful groups and agencies. And my job in this sermon this morning is not to list them all. One of the initiatives Robbie Butler is pursuing is to encourage a broad range of congregations in the Lisburn area to have their own, what he's calling a suicide champion, so to speak, a go-to person in the congregation for anyone who might be having suicidal thoughts, someone who will be able to point them in the direction of where they might find good help. Not at this stage a counsellor themselves, but a confidential friend who will have information and pathways at their fingertips to direct folks to where they're likely to find help. We have approached a person at Legacurry, but it's early days yet. There hasn't been any training, and so I'm not going to give you the name this morning, because just in case I didn't want them to be put under pressure at this stage. But should there be anybody here this morning who are struggling with these thoughts, let me urge you, don't keep silent. Come and speak to myself or to Mike or to a confidential friend or go to your GP. But let me urge you this morning, don't keep silent. Please reach out for help. What I want to do this morning for a few minutes is to turn our thoughts to Psalm 27, where David was facing trouble and had faced trouble. Now, the trouble he was facing was not mental illness. I want to say that up front. This is not a psalm about mental illness. However, as I was reflecting on the psalm over the week, I felt that there were parallels that we could benefit from. David speaks of his enemies, and in many ways, mental illnesses are like enemies. They attack us. They deprive us of joy, and many may even want to deprive us of life itself. They drain and exhaust us and rob us of so much that is joyful and hopeful in life. And so what can we learn from David in this situation? Well, we're going to see firstly the enemy, and then we'll be moving on through David's self-talk, David's cry, the Lord, and the hope that he experienced. So first of all, the enemy. The wicked advance against me to devour me, he says in verse 2. And in verses 3 and 6, They are like an army surrounding him, besieging him, warring against him. Wherever he turns, they are there. And mental illness is a bit like that. Wherever you go, it's there because it's inside you. You feel attacked, you feel surrounded, you feel besieged. When you waken from sleep, if you're able to get any sleep, the thoughts are there. And the last time I preached on this, I showed the video about depressive illness being like a black dog that follows you around everywhere you go. And there are all kinds of triggers. For Paul Guest at the Invictus Games, it was the sound of a helicopter that stopped him in his tracks. There are all kinds of triggers. And verse 5, David talks about being in the day of trouble. And verse 12, he talks about false witnesses, liars, who rise up against him, spouting malicious accusations. And that's so true. You're useless. You're pathetic. You're a sorry excuse for a human being. You're no good. You're ugly. You're unloved. The world will be better off without you. Your family will be better off without you. That's so often the monologue or something like it that people with depressive illness or suicidal thoughts hear. And it goes on and on and on, 24 hours a day. But it is all lies. It is all lies. It is not truth. It is the voice of illness. It is the voice of an enemy. It is not true. It is all lies. And those who feel this way and hear this voice desperately need to hear other voices that contradict the lies. And one of those voices they need to hear is their own. And we turn then to the self-talk. In this psalm, we hear some of David's self-talk. Right at the beginning, right in verse 1, he talks to himself. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" And in verse 2, he takes a different tack. "When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall." In verse 3, "My heart will not fear, and I will be confident." And then in verse 6, he talks to himself about positive uplifting things that he can and will do. "And now my head now my head shall be lifted up," he says. "I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing." Now there's self-talk. "I will sing. I'll maybe go out into the countryside or the garden, or I'll go into my bedroom, I'll go into the garden, and I will sing." Talking to yourself is so important when you suffer from depression. There's a need to change the tape loop in your head. One of the things counselors will often do is to get a person to ask several people close to them who really know them and who really love them to write down a number of positive attributes, things I appreciate about you. And when the person is feeling particularly depressed and the voices are loud and lying, they're to read out loud the positive things that others say. "This is what others think about me. This is what others see in me. I will choose to believe them and not the liars in my head." Self-talk and self-talk based on truth and the truth of God's word are so important in combating mental health issues. There may obviously need to be medication depending on what the diagnosis is, but self-talk is one of the important non-medical or non-chemical interventions. Then we come to David's cry for help, the point where he actually calls out and reaches out for help. In verse 4, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." He asked to live close to God, to see God clearly, and to be enabled to ask of God. "Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away. You have been my helper." Verse 9. And then in verse 11, "Teach me your way. Lead me on a level path." And verse 12, "Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes. Don't let me go, Lord. Don't let go of me." David's cry is the recognition that he needs help. I don't know if you watched the recent TV drama called Bodyguard, but the lead character in that drama was an ex-soldier now working in close protection with the police. And part of the plot is his struggle with his own mental illness, his own mental health issues, and how it is wrecking his family and how he is unwilling to seek help. How important it is with mental illness to acknowledge the need for help and to reach out, to call out, to cry out for help. And God is an ever-present help in time of trouble. He knows you better than you know yourself. And one of the issues with suicidal thoughts is the issue of keeping them hidden, of not telling anyone. And to be honest, there's an element of pride in that, and particularly amongst men, of not wanting to admit to mental health struggles, not wanting to reach out and admit that we need help. And we're not good at that, men. And it's pride, largely. You know, part of keeping it hidden is that it actually leads us away from God. Because when we call out to God and reach out to God for help and prayer, it's very difficult to be dishonest before God. And when we're honest before God, then we're urged to actually go further and seek the help, the human help that we may need, the medical help that we may need. So this, and this comes out so clearly in the psalm, that David is reaching out, he's calling out for help, and he's seeking for help. He reminds himself and he reminds us of just who this God is and what he is like. And so we come to the Lord. Verse 1, as we said, David begins with the statement, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." The God of light and not darkness. The God of hope and not destruction. Whom shall I fear? He is the God of light. Verse 5, "He will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent." And in David's day, when an army camped, the king's tent would be right in the very center of the camp, surrounded, completely surrounded by his men, right at the center of the camp, protected by his men. And that's the imagery that David's talking about here. "He will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent." So David reminds himself and he reminds us that the Lord will shelter us in his own tent. That he will bring us to the center of the camp. He will give us his own personal protection. Verse 5, he talks about, "And set me high upon a rock." High upon a rock, a place of elevation so we can see things clearly. High upon a rock, a place of strength that our enemies will find it difficult to attack. High upon a rock, a place of strength and security from which we'll not easily be shaken. This is the God who invites us to seek him, to dwell in him, to see him, to even in the midst of warfare and trouble, even in the midst of mental illness, he invites us to call out to him. And then in verse 13, David reminds himself and us of the goodness of God. Come hell or high water, come war or peace, come mental illness or well-being, God is good and wants the eternal best for his people. And clearly, as we come towards the end of the psalm, clearly we see that David came through his time of trouble. And the psalm ends on a note of hope. In verse 13, it begins with a note of calm assurance. He has reminded himself who God is. He has talked to himself. He has cried out for help. And now we find that he is calm and he is able to say these words, "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I saw very little of the Invictus Games, just a couple of clips on the news, really. But what little I saw, I was struck by how the same story came out time and time and time again. A soldier received life-changing injuries. Their disability and their inability to see any quality of life in the future led them into depression and even suicidal thoughts, maybe even attempted suicide. And then someone came alongside them and gave them a glimmer of hope. Somebody maybe led them into counseling, or someone involved them in sport and brought them on a journey of healing, which is both physical and mental. And we see a similar journey for David in this psalm. And in fact, this psalm itself for us may be part of that journey of healing. You, with the right help and with the Lord's support, we can be brought into a place where once again we can say with David, "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." What an incredible statement of hope that is. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. With the Lord's help, with the appropriate help that I need, humanly speaking, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then another aspect, both of the Invictus Games and of that Newsnight program, was how often soldiers who received help went on themselves to become help givers, helping others out of darkness and into light. And this too was part of David's journey. In the very final verse, he is able to say to himself and to us and to others, "Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." So folks, on this day when we remember the end of the First World War and the carnage it created for generations, let alone the carnage of the Second World War and wars and troubles since. We remember such wars with guilt and with sadness for the lives that were destroyed, the families that were destroyed. But you also remember those who even today are struggling with the mental effects of warfare. And in everyday life, those who struggle with mental illness. But we can remember with hope, because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And we can remember with hope, because I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And we can remember in hope, and therefore be able to say, wait for the Lord, be strong, take courage or take heart, and wait for the Lord. Because forever, God is faithful.